Following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, July 29th, 2018, and is sponsored by Larry and Sandy Scheneker.
Welcome here on this bright and sunny day. Welcome also to our guests and those who are joining us on KCHEK Radio and on the local TV. My name is Tim Miller, and I am the assisting minister today, here to assist in worship with our guest pastor, Reverend David Spong, and please join me in welcoming him. Our theme today, again, is following Jesus. So please stand as you're able as we sing our opening hymn.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves in the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen.
Please join me as we say the prayer of the day together as a congregation. Gracious God, you have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your faith. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread of heaven and share this bread with all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the shadow of an altar.
The first reading is from 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servants said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." He set it before them, they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. Here ends the first reading.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel is from John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. And when he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted, and they were satisfied. He told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This indeed is the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them, and the sea was becoming rough because a strong wind was blowing. And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near to the boat. They were terrified, and he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. Here ends the reading. Thanks for hospitality. Thanks for providing this beautiful place to worship, and what an absolutely fabulous day we have today that God has given us. So we give thanks for this day and for the many blessings that are ours here in this place. Thanks be to God. What a great Bible story we had today in the gospel reading. I don't know if you were listening about this. It isn't often that you have two huge, huge miracles like this taking place at one time and in one place. A couple of our favorite stories, aren't they? The one, it talks about the feeding of the 5,000, and then it's followed up by an even broader, bigger story of Jesus walking on the water. And I love that phrase, he walks on water. Now, there's a lot of meaning to that, he walks on water. I was telling Dr. Miller a little bit ago about my back surgery that I had, and the surgeon that I had, who was an extraordinary doctor, I believed. Then I heard later from some of his patients and from some of his fellow hospital employees and nurses that he walks on water. Always a good way to talk about your physician, isn't it? Especially when you know they're excellent and you know that they're able to do some great things. He walks on water. So we use that phrase once in a while when we think of people that are extraordinary, people who can do great things. But today Jesus is told to be, that's the one who does. And make no mistake about it, in these two stories side by side, the author is trying to make a message, a point for us now here as we live today in the 21st century about who is Jesus? Who is this? He walks on water. He is the prophet who is to come. That is the one who is with us. He is here. It's an incredible story. I can't help thinking of an old story. You probably have heard it 100 times about the Lutheran pastor and the Catholic priest and the Jewish rabbi, and they were going to go fishing. And you remember what happened. They got in the boat and went out in the water. And it didn't take long before the Lutheran pastor looked over at his priest friend, and they had been fishing together many, many times. And he said, you know, I forgot my lure, and I'm going to go get it. He got out of the boat and walked across the water and came back to the boat, walking across the water again with his lure. The rabbi's not been fishing with these two before, and he's new to this business. And he wonders, how are these people doing this? How is he doing that? What's happening? Not too much long after that, the Catholic priest says, you know, I'm hungry. And he decided to get out of the boat himself and walk back to his car, walked across the water again, and came back with his lunch and shared it with the other two in the boat. The rabbi is now beginning to scratch his head. What's happening here with these two people that I've never really spent a lot of time with? What do they know that I don't know? You know, I've got the oldest religion. I should know more about this kind of business of faith. So it didn't take him long to try the same thing, to get out of the boat. And he was going to go get his jacket because he was chilly. Well, when he got out of the boat, what happened? Immediately sank down into the water, got back in the boat, and he said, well, kind of scratching his head, what's wrong with me? And the Lutheran pastor said, as he looked at him, he says, you know, I wonder, to his priest friend, I wonder if we should tell him where the rocks are. Well, it's an old story, but probably a good one, illustrating a point for us here today about Jesus walking on the water. Except, I'm sure some of you are a little skeptical, scratching your head and say, really? You're kidding me. Walk on the water? Well, the gospel writer is trying to tell us something, isn't he? Trying to tell us about who Jesus is, that he is indeed the prophet. He is indeed the one who is to come. And that's the point of this story, but it's more than just a point, isn't it? And I'm sure some of you may have questions, you may have uncertainties about some of the miracles that take place. But for me, this gospel story is saying this, he walks on water. He did, and he still does for me. I hope that's your faith as well as we think about who is Jesus. He walks on water, right?
We believe that. That's our faith. Two good points in this story that we need to focus on a little bit, and that's, number one, people are hungry. And secondly, people have fears. And as we look to this story today, we can see there are a lot of people who are hungry in this message. But hunger is more than just for food. It has to do with, I think, our hungering for all kinds of things. Good relationships, positive connections with others, a sense of wholeness and completeness in our life. We all hunger for those things. There are certain hungers that are basic to our life, and Jesus is the one who feeds our hunger. Isn't that true? The hunger represented in our story today is more than just for food. Certainly many of us have been hungry for food, but not to the extent perhaps of starvation, but we understand hunger. But it's really a broader term, much in the same way as this whole concept of fear. In this story, this gospel story is more than just about being afraid in a boat. It's about fear that you and I all experience in varieties of ways. There's so many fears that surround us. And sometimes we carry this baggage with us through our whole lives. It starts when we're little, when we're children, and perhaps extends through our whole life like a coat that hangs, this wet coat that kind of hangs to us. When Jesus fed the thousands of people, the writer is careful to say they didn't have enough money. They didn't have money to feed this big crowd. But the gospel writer also says that when Jesus had blessed and divided the food, they ate all of it. But they were all satisfied. And what did they do? They had so much abundance left over that the leftovers became sacred. And they gathered them up. They put them in baskets. Nothing would be lost. And the comment made at the end of this story, and I think it's really the heart and soul of what the gospel writer John is trying to communicate to all of us who are gathered today. And if you want a bottom line for this story today, for this gospel reading, this indeed is the prophet who has come into the world. This indeed is the one. Believe me. He is the one. So we have the disciples in a boat without Jesus. The storm comes up, and what are these disciples doing when they're in the boat rowing? They're trying to get away from the storm. They're rowing and they're rowing and rowing for all they're worth, trying to get away from the storm. Kind of like us sometimes as we're going through our trying to get away from our fears, our anxiety. We row and we row. We sometimes say we're putting the pedal to the metal. We're trying to get through this thing, this hectic experience that we're having, this havoc, this calamity, this brokenness, and we try harder and harder so that we will not sink. And that's our situation so often. But the gospel writer says that Jesus knows about these fears. He comes walking on the water to the disciples. He identifies with them, and they take him into the boat, and it says immediately, they were safe. Jesus comes walking to us today in our fears, in our anxieties, in our stress. And what does he do for us when he gets into the boat with us? He calms our fears. I love that assurance as we go forward. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what tomorrow is going to be for our children. We don't know what's going to happen in this fall in school. We don't know what's going to happen for a lot of our situations of brokenness in this world. But when we have Jesus in the boat with us, it makes a difference, doesn't it? It makes a difference. We need to invite him into our boat as we're journeying through life. There was a neat little story that I saw about the annual baby derby where these little babies were having a race, and little 13-month-old Connor Wrighty was pictured crossing the finish line, and it had above the little caption that said, "Crawl before you walk. Crawl before you can run." And I think that's true. You know, if you're a teacher, if you're an educator, or a psychologist that works with children, you understand they have to crawl if they're going to be able to function in all kinds of ways. But that's true also in our faith. Sometimes we think we have to have the whole business of our faith. We have to have everything figured out before we can get going with our journey of faith. But I think that kind of model is pretty good for us. We need to crawl first in our faith. We need to crawl before we can run. We need to be before we can reach forward in our lives. We need to be bold and confident and believe that Jesus is concerned about our hungers and our fear, and that he will be with us as we move forward. Maybe just crawling, but he will be with us. There was an article about health that talked about how people manage stress. And it said only half of the worried Americans try to manage their stress. And it claimed that about one quarter of Americans what do you think they do when they get stressful? What do you think about a fourth of Americans do when they're stressed? They eat. Not always good for us when we eat to overcome our stress. Others take medication, or they may take alcohol or drugs of some sort to manage their stress, not thinking about the long-term consequences. There are a lot of things that we do to manage it. We think we're managing our stress. One expert said that we tend to look for things that calm us down, and they may not be good for us. And that same person recommends trying to start good, healthy habits by paying close attention to what we should be doing, one thing over another, and looking at the long-term consequences. 43% of men, 51% of women were concerned about the level of stress in their lives. Maybe we are all part of that percentage. We are concerned about the stress in our lives and how we manage it, how we deal with it. Unfortunately, this article didn't say much about faith. It was basically a scientific approach or why people are filled with stress. But we do know what our faith can do, and we do know what Jesus did for the disciples. He walked with them. He got into the boat with them. And it made a big difference, didn't it, for those disciples, as it will for us. He came to them. These are people that were supposed to be the faithful. These were the ones who were supposed to know about what to do when Jesus is with you. But they were the ones whose spirits were broken, and they were feeling very, very much stressful. But Jesus comes walking to those troubled waters, and he is looking for our boat. One final thought. Remember who we are. Remember that we are the Jesus people. And that when we go forward from here, out these doors today, remember Jesus is with you. And you are the representative. You are the body of Christ. You are the ones who bring peace and wholeness and healing to this broken and divided world. And I pray that God's presence will comfort you, will bring you peace, will bring you hope, so that you can be the ministers, that you can be the representative that Christ is calling us to be today. The world needs us. May God strengthen us, give us peace, give us hope, give us calm, as we go forward from this place today, to be a blessing as Christ has blessed us. Amen. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.